Is it too low? We good this time? All right. How's everyone this morning? Say goot, suprema goot. That's wonderful. This morning, I woke up. Elizabeth was a little fussy, and first thing I was thinking about was coffee. Kristen was like, "I don't have to make your coffee. The Bible says different." I was like, "What?" She opened to the book of Hebrews and started laughing. Anyways, today we'll be talking about something that I've been meditating on. And the title of my lesson is called The True Strength in Unity. Today I would like to capture your interest in, like most Sundays, I will try to bring my effort to bring the truth, God's Word, to bring the light out of His Word about unity, the light of progress, God's designed way for us to be. When I say us, I don't mean individually, and of course, we'll be addressing individual things today, but as us, as a whole, as one, as a whole, as one, all of us, the body of Christ, unity. And meditating about unity, I thought, what logical, what better way to bring about unity than by looking at ants? Ants. Well, Solomon addresses this in the book of Proverbs. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses for us. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, it says, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." So they work when the working's tough. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So Solomon said, go to the ant. And he addresses what the ant does. And we have seen what ants do our whole lives. From a child observing ants, ants work hard. Continuously work hard. It's interesting, he refers to them as weak, but did y'all know that ants can lift 7 times their body weight? Got a little bitty ant going around, he's carrying something twice his size. That's tough. That's tough. But compared to a person, it'd be easy to wipe a little ant off. It'd be easy. It's just one little finger. But Solomon is not saying a comparison of our physical attributes towards their physical attributes. No, it's their condition to continuously sow. To continuously sow. They sow when it's in the summer. They sow when it's hard. And their works are continuously for the whole. See, an ant ain't strong by itself. You ever seen one ant make someone dance around? I bet you remember that time you was working in the yard and you was raking and you was doing what you had to do when you was focused and you felt a little something and you look down and your leg is covered in little ants and you start dancing and moving and trying to kick them off. One ant ain't going to do that to you. But see, where ants are strong is when they are moving as one. They're strong in their numbers. That's where they get their strength from. That's how they build. That's how they create these tunnel systems and gather their food in summer in their unity. That's where an ant's strength is. And they're not lazy. Nope. Every single ant, from the time it can work, from the time it takes on that responsibility that God instilled in that creature, it works until it dies. The ant is an amazing creeping thing that the Lord has created. And let us look upon the ant and learn from that, that they are strong in numbers. The individual, us as an individual, will not be as strong away from the body. What do I mean by that? We will not be as strong if we are not present with the body. You ever go hunting? You ever go camping and you take a knife and didn't bring a knife sharpener? As Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron as a friend sharpens the countenance of another friend. You can use that knife and it might have a sharp edge, but eventually it's going to need to be sharpened. If you keep using that knife and keep using it, it's going to get dull. And the truth is we need each other so that we can be strong. It's through God's design for that to be. The body will exhort through works towards one another. And the unity of the body of Christ should be maintained with a fiery zeal. A fiery zeal. It should be our passion, one of our greatest desires, a part of our fruit, of characteristics of who we are, to strive for unity as the body of Christ in like-mindedness, in works, in the direction of where we need to be. Thank you, Justin. So to go into my first point, strength is supplied within Christ and within the body of Christ. I want you to think. In the New Testament, Paul refers to us as athletes, as soldiers. Have you ever seen an athlete without a place to train or a locker room to dress out? Have you ever seen a soldier without barracks, without training grounds, without a place to learn his trade? Well, it would be silly to expect the army of Christ, the body of Christ, to know how to put on the armor of God, to be prepared to give a defense for the reason we believe, without training grounds, without coming together to train towards that. Every cohesive unit that exists, every team, every place that strives for one thing comes together and trains for one particular goal. And how can we expect to do that if we're not together? We have to. We have to. We have to assemble. If you don't mind, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 11 through 15. Again, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 11 through 15. Starting in verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is head, even Christ." Why did God establish these positions in verse 11? apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we can be strengthened in growth towards Christ. So we can be strengthened in truth towards Christ. That's why. So His church, which Jesus Christ died for, could grow in strength so that we could grow for growth towards Himself. That's why He's established these positions. Because He's God. He knows what it takes. You ever heard the scripture, God is no respecter of men? I'm sure we all have. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says, "For all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, perfect," which is what that word complete means, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God gives us a command, but He gives us every single tool, facet, member to hang on to, brother to help carry, sister to talk to get through this life. He's no respecter of persons, but God was tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways of man. And He knows what we need to be strong. And He knows we need each other. These positions were established by Christ so that we can grow towards Him. Christ established these positions so that we can grow towards Him and complete that fruit, be a bearer of fruit for Him. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 2, "For I am the true vine, and any branch on me that bears forth no fruit, my Father will hone down and cast into the fire." Christ is doing these things so that we can be a zealous body, so that we can be a body that produces fruit, so that we as a whole can be growing. That's what our strive is for. That's what our one-mindedness should be going towards. Growing in the true doctrine. Growing every time we assemble so that we can be strengthened. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus Christ expects us to be one in Him, to be a branch off Him, and to bear fruit in Him. That's what we should be striving for. It is the building up of each child of God and edifying. We should be edifying each other. What does that mean? If you look from the Greek word, eikodame, it is the act of one who promotes growth. It is literally like the word to build a building, to start taking bricks and mortar and building that building up. Shoring it, making it stronger, increasing it. It is to promote strength, to promote growth, maturity. It is in the context of so that what the church was can grow towards perfectness of Christ. Edifying is the act of one who promotes growth in Christ. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, as a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. I'm sure we're all friends here. Should be. The greatest commandment is love. The greatest, all law is under two things. Love thy God with all thy heart and spirit and soul. And love thy neighbor as thyself. If I'm hurting, and I'm wounded, and I'm spiritually weak, please, I would want someone to come and build me up. So I might come to the assembly. And if God has laid in someone's heart to go and strengthen me, and they don't come to build me up, that's not loving me as myself. That's not loving your neighbor as thyself. We got to come together so that we can build each other up. We have to. It should be our greatest desire, zealously, zealously. It is such a joy, a passion to come together and sing songs of worship unto God. Do you know God wants us to rejoice in hope? What does Hebrews say about hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it assures us of things not yet seen. We rejoice when we come together because we gain faith, we gain hope, we're strengthened in the Word of God. This is what the church is for. This is what the body of Christ is. How can we be what God intends us to be if we do not want to come together? We can't. We can't be as strong as we should if we're not coming together. We can't. It's impossible. The individual will not be as strong away from the body. It cannot happen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. If you'd like to turn there with me, it's starting in verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." So in the context of not letting your faith waver, for He is faithful that promised, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us provoke one another to love and to good works. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Now, when the Word of God says something, we understand that all Scripture, from the beginning to the end, is inspired Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "Rightly divide the word of truth." It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto the Lord, a workman which needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 says, "A just weight is the Lord's delight, but a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord." What does it mean to forsake? It means to abandon. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "To know what is right and do it not is sin." There is a difference between having a cold, feeling bad, and saying, "Well, I'm tired. I just got this TV channel that's coming on, and I think SpongeBob sounds real nice right now." No, that is forsaking. If you make the conscious decision to miss church, and it's been premeditated for one particular thing, that's wrong. That is wrong. Especially if it burns your conscience. If you say, "No, I have a little headache. I'm not going to be that good. I can't strengthen the body. I got a little headache." And then you start feeling bad? You start feeling guilty? And then church starts, you're like, "Well, I should have went. I feel okay. You got to have zealous works. You got to have zeal. What did the ant do? What does the ant do? The ant works continuously. Let's learn from the ant. I'm going to bring up the ant again. Ant's a hard worker. We cannot be strong in the faith if we are not in like-mindedness with our brothers and sisters. We must zealously strive to be a worker for the Lord, a servant to our brothers and sisters. We must be a servant to our brothers and sisters. When the apostles argue and say, "Which one of us is the greatest?" And Jesus Christ said, "The one who thinketh himself least is the greatest. And the one who thinketh himself to be the greatest is the least." We should consider ourselves as an individual. So we shouldn't say, "Brother Philip is, I'm thinking bad about him and setting myself up." No. No. The Lord knows your heart. And that's weak. That's weak-minded thinking. You have to consider yourself a servant. I have to consider myself a servant. And we have to come together so we can serve each other. If we were all, If we were all about serving each other, do you think one of us would be without? No. If I was about serving myself, and everybody was about serving themselves, and hard times come up, then some people's going to go hungry. But if we're all about the servitude of each member, not considering ourselves towards each other, we would not go without. We would not be lacking in strength. We would not be lacking where the Word of God speaks towards doctrine. We would be constantly trying towards the edifying of each other, building up of each other, serving each other, as the Word of God compels us to do, to provoke each other to love and to good works. Well, who set this example? Christ did. Christ died for the church. He was so faithful to God and what God's desire was. He died for the church on the cross for our sins. Okay? Sacrifice. An example of ultimate sacrifice. Very thankful. Thank God. We can be complete because of that. That's one example. Another example. You remember when Jesus Christ washed the apostles' feet? He is the Son of God. The Son of God. The Creator of all things. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And without the Word, there was nothing." This is the God. This is the Christ that we are one in. And He gave the example of servitude. Walk step by step with the Spirit. We should be striving to live up to the example of Christ. We should be striving to live to that example that Christ set before us. And He also gave the ultimate example of teaching the truth. He always spoke the truth. He always taught the true doctrine, the true desire and the true will and the true commands of God. He wasn't tickling someone's ear. He didn't do that because that's not love. That's not edifying. That's not strengthening. That's not servitude. That is not love. Love is truth. And that's what we should be supplying to each other. So what examples, some of the few examples that we can see from the three things I brought up? We should be serving unto sacrifice, servitude, thinking yourself less, and teaching truth, that's how we're going to grow. That's how we provoke each other to good works through love, and to works done in love. Christ gave His life for this, for us. He has set this forth as a command. God wants us to come together to rightly divide the word of truth. You cannot look at this and say, well, forsaking the assembling of themselves. Well, I'm not forsaking the body of Christ if I just go hunting this Sunday morning. If I stay home and watch TV. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you're a brother, then you'll be speaking the truth. You'll be wanting to share the truth. You'll have a conscience unseared to provoke one another to good works. You'll have that desire. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For the love of God is to follow His," whose? God's commandments. 1 John 5, 3, "For the love of God is to follow His commandments, and that His commandments are not grievous. They do not make you mourn." Following God's will should never hurt us, should never make us to mourn. I woke up this morning and was like, I just don't. It almost burdens me to go to church because I'd rather be doing something else. Then you do not love the Lord, because the Word of God says in 1 John 5, 3, "For the love of God is to follow His commandments, and that His commandments are not grievous. To love God. I can say that one more time and it would make me feel a little bit better, but I'm not going to. God's commandments do not grieve us. We have joy in serving each other. We have joy. It is the fruit of the Spirit. We have peace and joy and love and long-suffering. The things that the world want to take from Christianity, they want to take all the commands away, but they want the fruit of the Spirit. They want the fruit of the Spirit, but they don't want to follow the commands. No, we have the fruit of the Spirit. And we can walk in joy serving each other. And we can walk in love for the Lord serving each other. It's God's desire for us. It's what He wants for us. It's what we should want for each other. Give them Thy word. Thy word is truth. Is that John 17, 17? His commandments should not be grievous. And what if they are? What's happening? They weren't grievous to me last week. What's happening? I'm starting to lose control. My heart's getting away from me. Things are starting to mess with me. What do I do? What's going on? Who's going to help me? You are. We are. We're going to edify each other. We're going to build each other up. We're going to build each other up. We're going to provoke each other to good works. But it starts by getting away from the flesh as an individual. It starts by getting away from the flesh as an individual. Because if I'm not wanting to do right for myself, then I'm not going to accept the invitation of help from someone else. If I'm not willing to help myself, if I'm not willing to go out and work, if I'm not willing to provide for my family, and I'm just trying to take handouts from everybody, I ain't going to want to get up and put shoes on and go out there and deliver packages for FedEx. I'm not going to want to. If I'm getting everything else, then I'm going to get not godliness with contentment, but I'm just going to say, you know what? This is where I'm at. I'm going to be all right here. Galatians says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that so shall he reapeth. If a man sows to his flesh, he reapeth corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he reapeth everlasting life. If you're sowing to your flesh, then you will reap corruption. And that is in everything that you do. That's what Solomon describes as a double-minded man. If you're sowing to the flesh and you're trying to be about the Spirit, you're going to reap corruption and double-mindedness, and you're going to start getting unstable. The desires of your heart are going to change. The book of Proverbs says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and He shall establish thy thoughts. He shall establish thy footsteps. He shall direct thy path. There's 3 or 4 Proverbs talking about that. If you're not committing all your ways unto the Lord, then the flesh is going to direct your path. And when the flesh is directing your path, the desires of the Spirit are going to leave. The Word of God says, lay by every weight. We know the Word of God says, lay by every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us. Easily. Lay by those things that easily ensnare you. If you're at work and all you can think about is getting home and getting on Netflix, and when you get home you immediately start watching TV, and you go to bed at 12 o'clock at night because you watch TV, you wake up the next morning a little bit late, you go to work and all you're thinking about the next time you're off work is watching TV. Wow. Is watching TV a sin? I mean, if you're watching something that's evil, I mean, do not put an evil thing before you. No. But is watching TV a sin? No. No, you can watch TV. But if it consumes the facets and the desires of your heart, that's a weight. That's ensnaring you. That's keeping you from growing in Christ. If I would rather go hang out at a skate park and skate, or if I'd rather go hunting, anything in this world, away from the spiritual realm, in this world that you do, if it is a false balance, it is an abomination to God because it's taking you away from your acts, your works for God, for Christ, and for servitude towards your brothers and sisters. A just weight is the Lord's delight, but a false balance is an abomination unto God. We should be striving to come together. We should be striving for that. We should sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. James chapter 4, 17, I already quoted it. To know what is right and do it not is sin. If you have a burning desire to... Someone's sick. I need to call them. I need to talk to them. I have this burning desire, but I started watching TV and the time slipped away from me. I started reading my book or started... And it's on the conscience of the individual. But to know what is right should be in us. We should understand. Have a striving heart. If we are grieved by His Word, then we need to work on ourselves, because that's not the love of God. If we are grieved by His commands, then we need to work on ourselves, because that's not the love of the Lord. But all the things that we have in Christ, all the things that we have in each other, if we're doing exactly what we need to do, if we're laying by every weight and sin, or consistently going about the works for each other, how strong, how zealous, how on fire can we be? What hope will we have? What joy will be instilled in our behavior? If you want to turn there with me, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We'll read verse 26 to 28, which brings me to my second point, and that's the body grows with strength. Again, Galatians 3, starting in verse 26, says, For ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ is the supreme. As we are one with the supreme, the strength in that, the hope that we have instilled us because of being one in Christ. Do you not know that you're a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells within you? Do you not know that you're an earthen vessel that houses the treasure? What treasure? A treasure that is so abundant, it will make us like being a lamp set on a lampstand that shines in darkness, and darkness I've never seen step in the way of light. We will shine like a light because we are one in Christ. There is strength in that to overcome evil. When you stand on the Word of God because you are one in Christ, and you try to you steadfast in your movements and in your thoughts to work towards God, the strength that you will have because of Christ and the hope of what you have in Him, that hope of eternal life that you have. Jesus is the glory of God's brightness. Jesus is the express image of God's person. We are one in Christ. We have put to death that old man, that promise that was gave to Abraham. That promise was for us, for Christ. It's been in the beginning that God knew, God knows that this New Testament, what we live today was going to happen. He intended for us to be one in Christ. And that's what we should strive to be, in like-mindedness. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a great one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, before I was a Christian, you know whose son I was? My father's, Andy Hendricks. I was kind of proud of that. But as a child of God, wow. Wow. A child of the Creator of everything? To have an inheritance? To be a partaker of the inheritance that Christ has? Of the kingdom? You know how amazing that is? You know how beautiful that is? How proud, how much joy we should have to say that we are the children of God. We are the children of the Creator, of the ultimate supreme being. How amazing is that? See, before we were Christians, what hope did we have? What did we have that could feel? Nothing. Nothing in this world can feel. For the belly of man is like a void. It keeps going and going and going. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil. You can never fill that gap. But being a child of God, knowing where and what we have, it restores us. It brings us anew. We have hope. And we have joy in Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. Starting in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I'm going to go back to the ant in a minute. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." This is exactly what we should be striving for as the children of God. This is what our main goal should be. It all starts with love. And Christ wants us to serve each other. Verse 11 says, "Be not slothful. Be like an ant." Solomon said, "Learn wisdom from an ant." Something that's weak, something that you can squish with one finger. We can learn from an ant. We should learn from the Word of God. Be not slothful. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Let love be without dissimulation, starting in verse 9. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. What is our hope in? What is our hope in? In eternal life. In being strengthened by the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When we come together and we learn out of God's Word, God's desire, we gain faith. We gain hope. And we rejoice. We rejoice in the Word of God. We ought to rejoice in coming together to do the works of the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice. James chapter 5, if you don't mind turning me there. James 5, verses 16 through 19. And here's an amazing one. Here's where true strength can come from. comes from each other. But if we don't have God in the mix, we're not going to be nothing because we're not going to be the true body. Starting in verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another in prayer one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." Eli was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he hath converteth the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. We should be admitting our faults one to another, because when we lift each other up in prayer and exhort one another and build up each other, we pray earnestly for each other so that we may be healed. When a man sows to his flesh, he reaps corruption. When someone sows to the flesh, they reap corruption. And when that fault is admitted, the light of the truth of God comes upon it. And the strength that it bears down on that individual is completely ripped apart. It is torn. The strength that it can bear on someone is taken away. It is now known. And each of us pray for that individual so that that strength is taken away, so that that member can be brought back to the full strength that is wanted by that member, to be rejoicing in the hope that they have in God. Be brought back to walking step by step of the Spirit. Admit your faults one to another. There is so much strength in that. It involves prayer, but it also involves talking to your brothers, talking to your sisters. Admit your faults one to another. This is found from the old all the way up to the new. This has been in God's desire from the beginning even up to the New Testament. It should be our desire to get rid of the strength that sin has over us. This is done so that we may be healed, so that we may be made whole. This takes weight that is impossible to carry on our own, off our shoulders. Get on to my last point, the zeal of a church. The zeal of a church. If you don't mind, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll read verse 22 through 24. Again, Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Another word for that would be zealously, "as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For whatsoever that you find that your hand doeth." This is talking about someone who works for a master. We work for the perfect Christ. We are the servant of righteousness. If we find that our hand is in a congregation that needs work, we need to be doing it with all of our might. The church is expected to be extremely zealous towards each other. We should be continuing, striving in zeal to do what God has put forth for us to do. We should strive. We should want that desire. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. I know we've heard this one. Ecclesiastes 9:10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor deceiver, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Work as hard as you can for this. As hard as you can. As zealously as possible. I'm a hyper individual. My zeal might be represented physically differently than others. I might bounce around and jump up and down like an ant, but another person's zeal might be just as passionate, but they might not be running around in circles talking about it. We should all have zeal. We should all strive for zeal. Our hand has been purchased by God, and we should work with all of our might to serve Him in all that we do. Individuals will not be as strong away from the body. The body will exhort through action and make each other stronger by building up the unity of the body of Christ. And we should maintain this with fiery zeal. As the ant is gathered together in their unit, let us as the body, as the ant is about its work for each member, let us as the children of God, as the body of Christ, let us learn that we need each other to be on fire to serve each other in all ways. Whatever God says for us to do, let us do it with all of our might. It's been wonderful to share so much out of God's Word to us, and I have hope that it's strengthened and brought to knowledge some things. And if conviction or strong feeling has been burning in your conscience and you have to admit a fault one to another, don't ever have fear in that. But rejoice when that desire comes about, because when you admit your fault, we can pray for you, talk to you, show you the Word of God. And if there's someone here who wishes to be a worker for the Lord, please come now as we stand to sing the song that's been selected.